Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Father in heaven, we take a moment and pause and come to you in prayer, asking that your Holy Spirit, that which you as truly the only good Father have given us, we ask that the Holy Spirit would open our eyes and our ears, our minds and our hearts, that we might see and understand the beauty of this passage. We ask, Lord, that you would transform us as only you can. Indeed, even as Brent said in this brief announcement regarding Vacation Bible School, that only you can do the work. Only you truly are the hero. We come, Jesus, in your name, and we ask that you would teach us to pray. We ask that you would teach us to pray as we've never prayed before, and we would be made different. We trust that you will, for you died. And I believe you died, not that we would grow in frustration of prayer, but you would enable us to pray more boldly and passionately, with greater wisdom, praying for your will. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not sure what it looked like to see Jesus praying, but it certainly wasn't like anything you've ever seen. What did it look like to see him in the garden, communing with his father, praying, dialoguing, listening? What did it look like for the disciples who walked for 3 years with him to see him go off alone in silence to pray? What did they hear? We know that they heard a lot. We know that they saw a lot. And in this one moment, one of the disciples says to Jesus, "Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And Jesus did. He taught them who they were praying to, what they were to pray for, and how they were to pray. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at this, the Lord's Prayer, and this parable that follows it. I shared with you in February that as a church, we have 5 statements of identity, 5 statements that describe who we are in Christ. The first one is this, that as members of Park City's Presbyterian Church, we desire deeply to worship God together, which we have been doing this morning. Secondly, we long to know and live his word. We don't just simply know it and understand the deep riches of the Reformed faith, the word of God, but we actually live it. It doesn't get stuck in our minds, but it moves from our minds to our heart, and it exits through our hands and our feet. And so we've been looking at the Psalms and the parables to teach us how to worship and how to know and live the word. And now we come to our third statement of identity, which we're going to spend the rest of the summer looking at. And this statement is this, that we pray. The people of Park City's Presbyterian Church, we pray. We pray bold and dependent prayers. And so for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking specifically at this text. And then we're going to be looking into the Psalms, continuing to learn about prayer. I want to read a quote from J.C. Ryle regarding prayer. It's a lengthy quote, and I know it's not the best technique to read something that's so long, but it's so rich and beautiful that I want you to truly lean in and listen to what he's saying. In 1852, in a little tract titled, Do You Pray?, J.C. Ryle asked the following question. I ask whether you pray, because a habit of prayer is one of the surest marks of a true Christian. Over the last few weeks, as we spoke of the parable of the soils, we're reminded that we must examine our hearts. What kind of soil are we in? And one of the surest marks that we're in the good soil is that we are a people who pray. He writes on, all the children of God on earth are alike in this respect. From the moment there is any life and reality about their religion, they pray. Just as the first sign of life in an infant when born into the world is the act of breathing, so the first act of men and women when they are born again is praying. This is one of the common marks of all the elect of God. They cry day and night unto Him. The Holy Spirit, who makes them new creatures, works in them the feeling of adoption and makes them cry, Abba, Father. It is as much a part of their new nature to pray as it is of a child to cry. None of us would disagree with what J.C. Ryle is saying, but many of us would say, that really is foreign to my life. I don't really pray that way. That's not what my life looks like. I can tell you that's true because of the assessment of my own life and the 20 plus years I've known Christ and how many times I've heard Christians say, I really struggle in the area of prayer. This summer, my prayer is that that would change. That something would happen in our congregation to every member and every friend, those who visit regularly, that we really would begin to know how to pray the way Jesus taught us to pray. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at this with one humble prayer in mind. Lord, teach us to pray. You see, the request that the disciple asks, Lord, teach us to pray, is actually a prayer. He's going to God, the Savior Jesus Christ, and he's saying, Lord, teach us to pray. He doesn't say, Lord, teach us about prayer, which is the temptation of so many. He says, teach us to pray. For to teach us about prayer simply makes us have an intellectual understanding of prayer without actually doing it. There are many books and good books that have been written on prayer. But the books that are the best that are written on prayer at some point tell you to stop reading and start praying. Lord, teach us to pray. You know, in the summer, students take a break from school. But some can't get away from it because they have to go to summer school. Others are driven to get ahead, so they go to summer school. Spiritually speaking, I wonder if during the summer, your relationship with Christ grows in its intensity, or if in some ways you take a spiritual vacation. 2 or 3 weeks away or months away from Bible study, regular small group meetings, inconsistency in worship because of travel. Do you view the summer as a time of kind of relaxing? Not just in the academic world, but in every area of your life. I want to encourage you that it has to be different. This summer, we're going to learn to pray. I'm praying so, and I believe we will. I believe every one of us will. We will grow in ways of learning to pray, and it should be the joy of your heart. If you were a student who struggled, who had to go to summer school never sounded fun. But if you were ambitious to learn, to get ahead, it might have seemed fun. Every one of us are not in position to say, I'm so spiritually strong that I will pursue everything I can to pray. We're all in common weak in prayer. No matter how well you pray. I've never met a man or a woman who thought he prayed or she prayed enough. And so this morning, we begin with a humble prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. You know what's interesting about that prayer? It fits so well with our identity. We pray bold, independent prayers. To start with a simple prayer, Lord, teach us to pray, it's both very bold and incredibly dependent. We can't pray, Lord, without you teaching. The disciples saw Jesus pray so many times. Certainly, he taught on prayer other than this moment. Yet, one of them looks at him after he prays and says, Lord, will you teach us to pray? So I begin this morning with the question, do you want to learn? I do. And I have much to learn, but I want to. And I want to learn with you. But learning can be so difficult. Last week, we were on vacation. We were in Santa Rosa Beach in the Gulf of Mexico. They're on the Florida Panhandle. And I wanted to learn something. I wanted to learn something primarily because my son wanted to learn something. And because he didn't know how to do it, I needed to learn how to do it so I could teach him how to do it. And what was it? Well, he watched these young, late high school, early college students walking up and down the shoreline on a little skim board. There, as the water moves into the coast, very shallow, they throw this piece of wood down or plastic or fiberglass or some other composite, and they jump on it and they ride it for a few seconds, and then they either fall off or do a flip or something really cool. Caden, 8 years old, looks at that and says, that's what I want to do. So we used his, well, the money that he gets to spend for a souvenir, and we bought him a skimboard. I didn't go into it without investigating first. As I was being a man building a sandcastle on the beach, I saw these two young boys walking by. I walked over to them and said, how do you do that? They said, oh, it takes a lot of practice. Where do you get a board and what kind of board do I need? One of them looked at me and said, oh, you can get them at Publix or you can get them at, you know, Alvin's Island or any Sun Sensations, whatever. How much do they cost? He said, well, 15, 20, 25 bucks for a wood one, maybe 30 for fiberglass, but mine costs 330. Wow. What's that made of? He began to speak of some composite material that I've never heard of, and he went on his way. So Caden and I made our way to Sun Sensations, and we bought his skimboard. I've never done it, barely seen it done, but I began to teach him what I do not know. Caden, you take the board, you throw it in the shallow water, and you jump on and ride. Daddy, will you show me? Glad to. I throw the board in the water. I hit it with my feet, and my feet go up, and my head goes back, and I land on the soft sand of Santa Rosa Beach. My first question was this: I wonder who saw me. My second thought was this: I probably should have brought the $330 skimboard. I had no idea what I was doing, and he was growing frustrated because he couldn't learn. My wife, who was sitting on our deck of the condo we stayed in, looked down. Taking her iPhone, she Googled YouTube, skimboard instructions. An hour later, she showed Caden a little video of how to do it. An hour later, he was doing it. And I never did. I never learned. I looked terrible. An old man out on the beach trying to do something that my body clearly passed the prime of doing a long time ago. But yet, I was determined to do it. But that determination didn't matter. I couldn't do it. I never could. Many of us look like a middle-aged man trying to do a child's game when it comes to prayer. We've known Jesus for so long, yet we struggle. We're awkward. We're falling off the board, yet we're trying to teach people that which we ourselves do not know. You need summer school. You need to be taught. You need to be taught just as I do. How do we pray? And so this morning, we're beginning. We're beginning by looking at the simple request that the disciple made. That's it today. Next week, we'll begin to look into the parable that follows and the Lord's Prayer specifically the following week. Who is it we're praying to? What is it we're to pray? And how are we to pray is the billboard of what we're going to be looking at the next few weeks. But today, it's the simple request. Lord, teach us to pray. I want to begin by asking you to evaluate your prayer life. I want to ask you to do a checkup, so to speak. We all do them. We know at a certain point in our life we need to go to the doctor every year for a checkup. We go to the dentist twice a year. But what about your prayer life? This morning I want to begin by asking you to write down four questions that I want you to spend time talking about with the Lord in prayer and with your spouse, with your small group. The four questions are very simple and very convicting. The first question in checking up on our prayer life is this: when and how often do you pray? Do you wake up in the morning with the first thought on your mind, prayer? Falling out of your bed on your knees or finding a place in your home that's quiet, do you prioritize your life around prayer? Or do you wake up anxious, seeking to fight the day on your own strength? Or is it in a quiet posture of dependence before the Lord? As you go through your day, do you pray as Paul taught without ceasing? Or do you simply grow anxious all day long? Do you wait till the end of the day to pray and then you pray simple, maybe routine prayers that lack passion and fire and zeal? When and how often do you pray? Be really honest. Give it a time. Is it more than 10 minutes a day? An hour? Less? More? Just be honest. No judgment here. Just be honest. The second question, when you pray, what are you praying? When you pray, do you begin by adoring God for who He is? Do you take a moment just to relish in the fact that His love is beyond measure? It's so wide, so deep, so long, so high. Do you look at creation and think about the wonderful ways He's made it? And like the psalmist in Psalm 139, you say, His thoughts are too wonderful for me. I cannot attain it. Do you adore Him? And for how long? Do you take time giving thanks to the Lord for the specific things that He's done in your life? The spouse He's given you, the children He's given you, the home that you live in, the job you have, or His faithfulness that He will provide for you, even if now you're out of work. Do you thank Him for the tough circumstances that you're going through, as well as the good? Do you confess your sins? Like the psalmist again in 139, do you cry out, Lord, search me and know me. If there's any way that's offensive, show me. Do you pray that prayer? Do you sit long enough for the Holy Spirit to work in you, to convict you of sin, that you might, as we did this morning publicly, cry out, God, forgive me for this overwhelming measurement of sin in my life? Do you intercede for other people when you pray? Which leads to the third question in evaluating your prayer life. Who are you praying for regularly? Certainly we pray for our families, but I want to ask you this question. What do you pray? Moms and dads, what are you praying for your children? Are you praying for them to be happy? And if you are, do you realize that the only way they will be ultimately happy is if they're found in Jesus Christ? If He is the center of their life? And do you know that if you're praying that prayer and longing for that, that they will certainly come under great attack from our enemy who wants to confuse them and distort the truth, that they would never believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, or they wouldn't believe that He's the only way, the only truth, the only life? Are you begging for salvation in your children's lives? Are you interceding on their behalf, which takes time? Asking God to give you insight into the very things that would tempt them, that would destroy them. What about for your spouse? What are you praying for one another? Do you pray together? I doubt many of you do. Are you praying for coworkers? Do you think about those you work with each day, either those you work for or who work for you? Do you think about their lives, the events in their lives, the needs in their life? Do they know Christ? And are you praying for their salvation? What about for your neighbors? How about your enemies? Jesus said, pray for those who persecute you. Are you praying for our president? other world leaders to have wisdom and ultimately have a relationship with Christ? Are you praying for missionaries that this church supports and others that you support? Are you praying for them? They need your prayer more than they need your money. Are you praying for the pastors of this church? I know many of you pray for me. I hear it almost every day. And the days I don't hear it, I still feel it. And I tell people who tell me they're praying for me, never stop. Our enemy wants me dead. He wants me destroyed, and all of our pastors and all of the people of this church. Are you praying for Sunday school teachers, small group leaders, our elders and deacons, those who lead our women's ministry? Are you praying for those in our body who are sick? There's a lot to pray for, isn't there? And you begin to feel, I can see it even now, overwhelmed by how poorly we pray. The last question in evaluating your prayer life is this: how do you approach God in prayer? Do you come to Him with great zeal? Finally, it's our time to be together. Do you come with expectations? God, I know that you can do this. Do you come bored out of a sense of duty and not delight? Do you ever stand before Him weeping or outraged, as Robert Duvall was in The Apostle, shouting at God, as some of the psalmists seem to do? Do you ever just fall on your knees or on your face and weep over who He is, what He has done, and what you desperately need Him to do? This week, I want you to take those four questions, and I want you to do very serious business with the Lord. You know, and I know too well, that prayer is difficult. Four difficulties I'm going to introduce that we will unpack over the next 2 weeks. Each of the difficulties begin with D, so it'll be easy to remember. And the first one is this: one of the great difficulties we have with prayer is simply defining it. What's going on when I pray? How does a sovereign God, who governs and controls all of His creatures and all their activities, how is He moved by my prayer? What's actually taking place when I pray, and does it really matter if I do or don't? One of the great difficulties we have with prayer is we just don't understand what it is and what is happening. A second difficulty is simply distractions. I think it's interesting in the context of this teaching that Luke puts it right behind the story of Mary and Martha. Martha, Martha, you're anxious about many things. Mary has chosen what is better, to be still, to be at the feet of her Savior. A great posture of prayer. We're distracted by so many things, and the world is so noisy. A third difficulty is simply desire. Some of you, I know to be true, just no longer desire to pray. You no longer desire the intimacy of that communion with God. And you've tried before, and you're afraid of trying again. And lastly, the difficulties that we'll be looking at is some of you are deeply disappointed in prayer. You have prayed something specific that God has yet to answer in the way you would desire, and you can't see why He would not desire the very same thing. My friend Brian Chappell, the president of Covenant Seminary, a few years ago wrote a book called Praying Backwards, which is a very helpful book, because in the book he tells you at some point to stop reading and to start praying. But he speaks of this difficulty of disappointment. He tells a story of a friend of his who was a nurse. This nurse was on a floor of a hospital where people were being treated for cancer who were in the last stages. This family had gathered. The grandmother was dying, but they met in the room and began to pray. And they prayed bold prayers for miraculous healing, believing truly that God could do it. He's capable of doing it, but it went beyond that. It wasn't just that He's capable of doing it. If you pray the right way, with enough faith, with enough sin confessed, that prayer will be answered. The nurse was somewhat concerned about the theology that seemed to be reigning in the room, But as a Christian, she entered in and asked, could she pray with them? And so she did for weeks. But finally, the woman died. Grandma went to be with the Lord. She entered into the room and asked that woman's husband, can I pray with you once again? She was shocked when he said the following, God says to pray, and he will answer. We did, and he did not. So we're done with that. Brian Chappell says, something in us knows that he was wrong. But why wasn't he right to be disappointed in God, or at least disappointed in prayer? Prayer's hard. It's difficult. We all know it. But there's hope. The hope is that Jesus answered this disciple's bold prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. And I believe with all my heart that if the body of this church begins now to pray that simple prayer, that your life is going to be different in regards to prayer. And if your life is different in regards to prayer, it will begin to be different in every area of your life. God will not necessarily take away the pain, but through prayer, he will remind you that he has given you himself, that he has done everything necessary for you to have a relationship with him. And as Hebrews teaches us, that even now Jesus lives to intercede on our behalf. So the application this morning is very simple. Begin praying this week, Lord, teach us to pray. Don't pray, Lord, teach me to pray. Keep it corporate for this body. Lord, teach us to pray. Use the four questions to evaluate your prayer life. And then throughout each day, pray, Lord, teach us to pray. He will. He will. Father, I can say that with absolute confidence because it's what you did in your word. You didn't die on the cross so that we, your people, would grow frustrated endlessly before heaven in prayer. You died that we would have access to the throne. Yet our enemy works so powerfully against us in prayer. So we pray a simple prayer that's bold. Lord, teach us to pray. Remind us of your faithfulness, even in answering this prayer. In your name, Jesus, we boldly and dependently pray. Amen.